life as a owner of a tool truck. So if you need a tool, see me later and we'll talk about that. When Kim and I first moved to Weatherford, we moved out there. Kim was expecting our first child, JW. Boy, that was difficult. The old preacher that was there used to talk about his mama and say that his mama said, "Son, stand up to be seen, speak up to be heard, sit down to be appreciated." So I'm going to work on that last part of that appreciated part. So this may be a very short time that you're having to listen to me. I want to also let those people on the internet, those that are visiting, know that I am not the normal preacher. We're diligently looking for a preacher for the everyday, every Sunday position here at Central, and we would like all of y'all to remember that and pray about that and help us look for that person. And any of y'all that haven't spoke, we have four great guys. Rob did a great job. I'll get muddled by. But any of you that want to speak, let us know. We'll be glad to put you on the schedule. I spoke to a young man today about it. He said that he had spent lots of time in prayer with God, and God told him no. So we're going to, those that spend time with God, and God tells you, try it. Well, at least try it. We'll put you on the schedule. If you'll bow with me, we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. Father, we thank you for this family, this congregation of believers. Father, we ask that you be with me, especially at this time while I present this lesson. Father, guide us, protect us, help us do the right thing always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to start this lesson with a story. The story is that Kim and I moved to Weatherford whenever Kim was expecting our first. We ended up having three, we had four of them there. But we had our first three as a planned having children. We had Jim and Lavina, they would come out and they'd visit with us. Jim and I bought a bass boat. We went fishing regularly. We went fishing too much sometimes. We fished on a little lake there close called Weatherford Lake. And when we'd fish there, we would have picnics with the kids and with Kim. And we would have it set up a time that they would meet us. We'd go back to the bank. We'd meet them, we'd have a picnic. We would have just some time for Jim to enjoy the grandkids. Grandma's getting all the grandma time she wanted. And, she says, no, not all, but a good portion of it. On one particular Saturday, we met them on the bank. They were there earlier than we were. And as usual, Neely wanted to be close to the water. She wanted to take and she really wanted in the water, but it wasn't a good beach. It was a place for boats. It was next to the marina. There was pretty good drop off right off the bank, but she wanted to be next to the water. She wanted to touch the water. She wanted to see where the water was. This lake was notorious for having reeds and moss and lily pads and Neely was always our headstrong child. If you told her, hold my hand, she said, no. And so you would have to have a conversation with her. Well, they walked by the water, and Kim made her stay right there with her. Neely was only two. JW was three. J, J.W. was always the one that was the safe one. He liked to stay over here on this side of Mama, and Neely on this side of Mama, right here next to the water. Well, as the bank curved in, Neely didn't see that the bank curved in, and that moss looked like something to step on. She stepped right on it, and she went straight under. She was gone. She was just completely disappeared. Moss closed up over. Kim, being 8 months pregnant, took and just reached down in the water and caught a hold of her and jerked her out. She was mad. She was wet. She was not a happy camper. Nobody was. Kim got her dried off. We put a t-shirt on her that I always kept in the truck for emergencies. Whenever I'd get something on me, I'd had to have a shirt to wear home. And Kim got her home, got her bathed, got her warmed up, and had a nap. And it was just one of those eventful mornings. But if she'd been close if Kim was not right there close to her, we could have lost her. It could have been a bad Saturday. And Neely, being in the age she was too, she didn't understand that. And now at our age, we understand that. So in Matthew 26, verses 58, it says, "But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest." Peter didn't understand that he needed to be close. He followed at a distance. If he would have been following close, the next few verses would not have ever been needed. Earlier in the chapter, Christ predicted that Peter would deny him three times. And Peter bowed up. Peter said, "Not me." Verse 34 or 33 says, even if all fall away on account of you, I'll get it right in a minute. Because he was not me. Have you ever been around any people like that? That whenever somebody would say that something would happen, that, "Not me, I ain't going to do that." Well, that's the way Peter was about that. He said, "Not me, I'm not going to fall away." Well, they came and arrested him, and then he followed from afar. Why did he follow from afar? You think that it was just that he had a moment of weakness? I think so. In the next verse, in 34, it says, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." You know that if Peter would have been with the Lord, if he'd have been right there with him, why would there be any doubt at that point? Would there have been any doubt that he was with Jesus? There wouldn't have been. So there wouldn't have been the question that started the denial process. The reason that he denied the Lord was his weakness, but the reason he denied the Lord was because they asked him, "Was you with him? Wasn't you one of his followers?" And Peter shirked back and says, "Not me. I wasn't there." And before the rooster crowed, he denied him three times. It's the same with us. People tell us how we are by the way we act. Have you ever seen anybody? Have you ever worked with anybody that they would praise God, praise be to God, this something else, and then the next thing you hear them, they're talking about they're going out partying and get drunk on Friday night. Are they this running around, or they're doing that, or they're doing this? What do people know about you? What do people know about how close you are to God? Do people know you're close to God? Why do they not know you're close to God? Is it the way you act? The things you say? The people you hang out with? If we allow ourselves to follow him, he will be with you. If we allow ourselves, we'll follow at a distance. What are we showing people every day? Do we show people the distance, or do we show the people the closeness? A good example of closeness is whenever a friend of yours moves away. Good friend moves off. Maybe it was back whenever you was in school. Maybe it's when you're in college. Maybe it's as an older adult. They move away. You promise, oh, we're going to stay close. We're going to stay close. And you call each other. You text each other. You send each other emails. Or back in the old days, you send a paper mail. But you stayed close. You even came and visited. And then slowly but surely, you finally got to the point where you talked to them two or three times a year. You might call them at birthdays. So was you staying? You didn't stay close. And then in the silence grows, and you're looking, you're wondering why that you've fallen away from each other. You've wondered why you're not close anymore. And then all of a sudden you wake up and you say, oh, it was me. And that's the way it is with God. God's going to always be there for us. Jesus will always be there. We are the one that make the decision not to be close. We put ourselves in a position where people do not recognize us as being with God. Why do you think we do that? Is it just that we're weak? Or we don't have the desire? Or maybe we're not fully committed? How can we change that? How can we make our walk with God close every day? Read the Bible. Pray. Lean on these people here. This is a family. Do you see your family often? Do you see your family as often as you want to? Are you with this family? Do you show this family the same love that you show your blood kin? We fool ourselves into believing that if we are walking beside him, nothing bad or nothing unpleasant will occur. If we're not careful, the first time that something negative happens, we try to blame God. He was beside us. He took care of us. He says in Hebrews 13:5, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So did he? When you have an accident, you say, why me, God? Or when you lose somebody, why did you take this person, God? It's not necessarily for us to know. God will be with us and never forsake us. That's a given. That's just the way it is. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus himself promises, and behold, I am always with you to the end of age. Do you believe that? You need to. If you don't believe that, You need to get that Bible out and mark that, highlight it, read it, and believe it. All right. Now, there's a picture up here on the screen. There's a story behind that. And us old guys, we like to tell stories. So this picture was taken about 14, 15 months after the incident with Neely in the lake. We were at the botanical gardens because Kim and I were taking wedding pictures and bridal portraits and stuff like that. As a spare job, extra job, I had a couple of new cameras. I had a medium format camera. I had a big Canon with auto this and auto that, back before the days where you just pointed it and pushed the button. And I was trying to teach Kim a little bit about it. And so we were taking pictures of the kids. That way we could find places that we could take bridal portraits. I mean, look at that. Is that, would that not made a pretty bridal portrait with her standing there with her dress all sprayed out over the rocks there? We were working on it. Well, Neely, of course, had to touch the water. But remembering, even 14, 15 months before that, remembering the getting wet, JW insisted on holding her hand. And you can see he's got both hands a hold of her. He was not going to let her fall in. And that's the way God is to us. God will hold on to us with both hands if we allow it. If Neely wouldn't have allowed it, he'd have been standing there with his hands on his hips watching every second, but he would have. So we've got to pay attention to what God allows us to do. And we've got to pay attention to what we're doing. We have to hold his hand. We have to hold on to what God has given us. The devil attacks us every chance he gets. He uses our weaknesses to separate us from God and create a distance between us. For that, he's the winner. God created us with the will to do what we want to and how we want to. We've got to mold our will to his. He knew that Peter's weakness, and he knows of ours. Neely recognized at this age that she was long before that she had a weakness to be close to the water, and JW wanted to depend on his strength to keep her from falling in. He didn't want her to get hurt. He didn't want her to get in the water. Mom and Dad was over here. They were over here. So he was the one that was staying close at that time. If we search, we recognize our own weaknesses and remain close to the gut. If we search and recognize our own weaknesses and remain close to our Lord, we can stand strong with the Lord. And that's an absolute. If you recognize your weaknesses and you stand strong, you will stand strong with the Lord. And in that, Satan won't defeat you. It doesn't mean that you won't be tempted. And that everything will be perfect for you. If everything was perfect for you, you'd come up out of the water after your baptism, and you wouldn't have any weaknesses. You wouldn't have any temptations. Everything would go just the way you thought they ought to. Now, that's the key right there, is how you thought they ought to. You may have had it perfect, and you just didn't know it because this was God's plan. We tend to live on our plan, not God's plan. We need to live closer to God. As a good example, when we all experienced COVID, everything shut down for a while. we had numerous times that things just changed, and we'll never get back to the way we were. But that also let us grow apart from each other. That also let us grow apart from the church. We need to get everybody back to the church. We need to get everybody back to God. We depend on this being a family. And the more you have this family, the more you will be a family. Tonight we're going to have Bible class. After Bible class, we will have a meal. When we were big enough that we had multiple groups, the groups did different things. The group that met here, we had a meal. That way we had the social time as well as the Bible study time. We grew close. We grew together. It wasn't a potluck. It was a meal. And that way we had that time that we were able to cherish each other, visit with each other, and love on each other. We need to take in, don't let the bad times defeat you. We need to take and stay focused on the good things. We want to grow this congregation. We want to grow this group. We want the neighborhood of this congregation to know that we are believers. We want them to know that we are trusting in God, that we love God, and we love them. So in the future, we're going to have some things here that we're going to ask you to support. We're going to have the trunk or treat. We're going to invite all the kids from the neighborhood. We're going to invite this neighbor for this to be a safe place for their kids. In doing that, we're also going to teach them that we love them. We're also going to teach them that we love each other. We're working with a gentleman he's going to use the annex a few times a month to teach young men how to be men, not be just young hoodlums. He is going to work with the high school football coaches, so the young men on the high school football team here locally will be young men, not just males. We're going to be asking some of y'all to help him with that. I'm going to be helping feed him. I'll be asking some of y'all to help so we can bring those young men from the community in to learn how to treat other people, older people, younger people, their girlfriends, their parents, and not just to be running the roads. In doing that, we're hoping to maybe bring them into the church as well, or bring their families into the church. In closing, if there's anyone here that feels that a distance has grown between the Lord and you, this is the day to close that gap. This is the time. We love you, and we want you to be close to God. We want you to take and pray with us, pray with each other, pray with yourself. But we want you to close the gap. We want you to walk with God. So if anyone has that need, come forward as we stand and sing.